Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Has been a little bit of revisionist history, and I'm about
to pick the case of John Wilkes Booth's head. Is that
yes, I am.
What?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Come on, bro.
Okay, hold on.
Are we going?
Aye.
Hey, all right, we're back in the Airstream Studios. How you doing there, Joe?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Trey. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I think that's a wee bit of a Northern Ireland, not Scottish. Getting a bit up there.
Hey, what you're doing there?
Oh yeah, right. Like that's
Ireland. Ireland's got more of a loyalty to it. I don't even know what a lilt means, but
But I don't know about Northern Ireland.
Me neither. I don't know the difference between those two. They're on the same island, but different countries.
I think that don't hit for them.
I also think
per our conversation on Well Read yesterday and our mentioning in the book Round Here Over Yonder, which by the way is available for $5.99 on Audible the entire month of April. In Ireland, they north is also they south, correct?
I don't know. You're saying that Northern Ireland is where the dumb Irish are?
That's okay. I'm not saying people in Northern Ireland are dumb. That's not what I'm saying. But yes, what I'm saying is I think that per the perception over there, the Northern Irelands are more of the rednecky ones. Again, I'm
well, they were the ones that, you know, allowed themselves to get took like that. The rest of the country didn't get took.
Yeah, that's true. Look, and again, I'm just kidding, Northern Ireland.
I don't get my car bombed. I'm still just kidding.
I'm pulling this directly from our favorite source of information. My butt.
Yeah, my butt.
305 My Butt Lane, where I currently live. But I don't know. Mm. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't have a clue what their where their dumbasses are in Ireland or not. But I just know that, you know, Northern Ireland is technically not part of Ireland, and that's been a bone of contention for quite some time. I think
right.
It's generally somewhat settled now. I got a few different things to show you, so let's get into it. If you don't mind, you see this? You ever seen these people?
Have I seen those people? No, but that looks like if you asked AI to draw a Down syndrome Tom Brady.
I think, and a lot of other people have said, I think Matt Damon.
Yes. Which I think Matt Damon is Down syndrome Tom Brady. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I know like it sounds like it.
There's a comment right here. I mean, if you're only a listener, don't worry. There is sound. You'll hear these people talk in a minute. But there's a comment here on Instagram that says, who microwaved Matt Damon? so anyway, these are two super white people. You're not going to believe how white these people are when I show it. And they definitely fancy themselves some fancy motherfuckers. So they fit in the show as like a glove as far as I'm concerned. And I wanted to see what you thought about them if you had never seen them before. And you said you haven't, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's hit it. Say something if you do not hear volume. If you can hear it, then just watch it.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. Taking Pookie shopping for her birthday to get her something very nice because she is a very sweet Pookie.
Very sweet.
Yes.
The shopping in Venice is so good, by the way.
It is.
They have like every store.
So Pookie, what are you wearing for this occasion?
Okay, I'm wearing a bubbish little cardigan, and I thought it might be a little bit too much because it's raining, but it's also almost my birthday.
It's the perfect birthday outfit, Pookie. No brainer.
And then I'm wearing a Goldie jeans and Tony Bianco boots and my little Chanel.
Love it. I'm wearing a Bonobos jacket, cashmere sweater, Versace belt, Paige jeans, and my wine-colored LL Bean boots for the rain.
You look so cute, babe. It's a rainy day.
All right. Okay. What do you think about that, Joe?
Well, I'll give you my first immediate thought is that, let me preface this by saying I'm glad in a way that we are at a place in society where men are more open-minded to being silly with their wives and you know, having whatever her hobbies become your hobbies and supporting her, That said, watching this, it does make me ache for a time when a man would see his wife doing this and just go, "Shut up, bitch!" Like, I don't mean you should hit a woman. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they're, you know, it's they flossing with their wardrobe.
Right.
It's a very rich people thing to do. Rich men included, I think. I have a memory seared in my brain of this dude. I went to a wedding with my college girlfriend who, you know, she was a succubus, as has been oft discussed across this universe over the years. But she was from a family that, like, well, they put on airs, frankly.
Right.
Like, they, I thought that, I used to have a whole long bit about it, about how, like, really they were just middle class, but, like, I was such trash that
right.
I felt like Leo at the bottom of the steps on the Titanic or whatever. Like, I thought they were genuine rich people, but they weren't, looking back, but they tried to act like they were. So that's the type of people they were, right? And I went to a wedding on her, in her family or something, I can't remember, and there was this dude, some uncle or cousin, some member of the extended family or something, sitting at the table. I'm sitting there picking at my chicken tenders, just being a trash
picking
boy.
At my chicken, the Trey Crowder story.
That's right, yes, just trashing it up, avoiding everyone. And I overheard that guy say to someone else, and I could still, like, I can hear it in my head exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not even anything that special. It's just, it was like the first time in my life I'd ever heard a person say something like this unironically. He goes, "I mean, my wardrobe is pretty extensive." And that's exactly how he said it. And, like, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I think it's a pretty simple thing to do, but it was, like, astonishing to me that, like, I was a real person who was really saying that sincerely.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But yeah, some people be that way, and these people be that way. Where do you think this dude is from? I'm going to hit it again real quick and listen to him talk for a second.
Venice.
Taking Pookie shopping for her birthday to get her something very nice because she's a very sweet Pookie.
Very
nice.
Pookie, a very sweet Pookie.
Pookie.
Oh, yeah. Right. Pookie.
Get her something very nice because she's very sweet Pookie.
To me, it could be. To me, it could be anywhere because I'm not a a linguist or an accent affectation expert. However, in my limited experience with my own accent and trying others, I'm sensing an attempt at some form of a mid-Atlantic accent.
That's what
like
I was going to say.
He's not pulling
it
off. It's
like
that's what he's trying to do.
I agree. It's like a mad TV character.
Yes.
My
Pookie.
Yeah, that's something very nice because she's a very sweet.
He sounds
Pookie.
Like Bill from Bill and Ted.
Right, yeah. It's, and then she is doing the whole full-blown vocal fry about
this is Bill. Perfect birthday.
It's so nice. Yeah, right. So
it's not rare for me to fully agree with the Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey, but and I'm very aware that, like, when it comes to rich people, I've only ever been even marginally close to the type of rich person that I'm about to shit on. But you said this is a very rich person thing to do, which is floss and talk about their outfits. It's a very new money thing to do. And frankly, it's fucking disgusting. Okay.
Right.
Stealth wealth is what the true hitting riches do. They don't be doing this shit. They will wear that jacket that doesn't look like
right.
it costs, you know, okay. fucking $900,000, but it does. So,
dude, I mean, I hear you. It's sort of like, you know, Job and Arrested Development. The guy in a $3,000 suit. Come on. Right,
come on.
Yeah. So it is. That is a thing. You're right. Like the douchey form of it. But I feel like there's a whole, like, what's the phrase, clothes make the man? That's not it.
Clothes make the man is a thing. The man
something
doesn't make
makes
yeah,
the
or
man.
The man. It's
I know in the hold on, I know hold on, hold on, in it's, Kingsman it's manners maketh man, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking
don't
about,
let the clothes wear you, wear the clothes.
Yeah, I don't know.
There is a phrase like that.
There's things like that about, like, some people are into, like, you know, hitting clothes. It's like a whole subculture.
I mean, I like
obviously
hitting clothes.
Course, women are, right. I know what I'm saying. Like, where do you draw the line? You know,
I think you just don't be such a fucking douchebag like this guy. Like,
yeah.
dude, listen.
But see, this is their content, Joe. They're
I
like,
know.
They're wardrobe influencers or
and
something.
There's part of me that feels like if both of these people, especially if they were new money and from the South new money, if both these people were like, God damn, look at this fucking Gucci suit I got, man.
Well,
that would hit so hard. So their accent is doing a lot of it here.
I kind of want to do that now.
Me too.
I'll take it back and get my money back right after I make the video or whatever. They probably won't let you do that at Hidden Stores. But yeah.
We
should do that. That would hit. I heard, just a side note, I heard Neil Brennan on a podcast talking about how, like, dude, if he's got, like, a TV set, he's going to do panel on Seth Meyers or something like that, he'll buy, like, a nice outfit to wear or whatever, and he'll go tape it, and then he takes it right back to the store and gets a refund.
That
right
is
after.
Some Katie shit.
And he's, like, a fucking, you know, a multi-millionaire. Created the Chappelle Show. He's fucking loaded. And he still does that shit, which hits for me. But anyway, I want to read some of these.
That's the stealth wealth thing that I was talking about. They don't put a lot of care into that shit because it's like, why? I don't give a fuck. I'm rich. I can get a boat.
Yeah. So I'm going to read some of these comments real quick. This guy, the Trappist, says, so is this satire or are they both on the spectrum? Wait, am I on the spectrum? Jesus. And Liliana Digisu says, they look like children who made wishes to turn into adults.
That's so true.
Yeah. Dude, Joe Weaver says, dudes like him are the reason motels have that single chair next to the bed.
The cuck chair. The cuck chair.
Yeah, right. That's so funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I can't tell which one of them is being held hostage.
It's him, if anything.
Yeah.
She's way more into it than him. He definitely has the energy about him that's like, this wasn't my idea, but
she's such a good pookie that I must. It's like a fucking like a character from a Matt Groening show or something.
Yeah,
that voice, that like rich person voice.
Yes, it's someone making fun of Frasier.
Right. Yeah. And Mr. King goes on a little diatribe here. Says, it make anyone else extremely uncomfortable when they kiss and when he talks and when she talks? Why am I seeing this? I don't follow these people. Although I do scroll through the comments looking for others who hate this as much as I do. It makes me believe in humanity.
Man, that's funny because like. Every now and then I will think to myself, why the fuck is something like this even popping up on my algorithm? How have I once shown any sign of this hitting for me? And then I remember that there have been occasions where something like it showed up. And my first thought was, I must journey to the comments to see if people feel the same way I do. And then I stay in there for 4 hours.
It's a weird type of thing. It's kind of related to rage bait, but these people, they're not doing rage bait.
No, they're serious.
But it's adjacent to rage bait, meaning like there are people out there who like they do big numbers and have a following and probably monetize their stuff or whatever, but they don't hit for anybody.
No,
it's
nobody.
Like ironic, like universe. I just saw this other dude. Damn, I need to try to find that guy real quick. I forgot to put him in the doc, but they need to every comment is always like, man, fuck this shit, you know, or whatever, or making fun of it.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of comments and a ton of engagement and a ton of views. It's all people watching
all
and being like, man, fuck this shit. And so they end up like hitting anyway.
Right.
Even though they don't hit for nobody.
And they don't care. All it is to them is about the engagement because they
numbers.
Monetize it. Y'all, I want to talk to you about our friends over at Songfinch. Yes, the very same that made our incredible Putting On Air's rap song, which everyone has loved. We made a music video for it. Y'all have seen it. It's tremendous. Well, honestly, I thought, well, they can't top this. There's no way. And then Songfinch approached us and was like, hey, Mother's and Father's Day is coming up. So like, why don't you get a gift for, you know, your parents? And I was like, oh, I've got this. It's for my dad, 100%. Because even though they do all types of songs, sentimental, romantic, serious, whatever, I'm a funny guy. And I like roasts. So I was like, roast my dad. I put in all the information and I was like, okay, a lot of these are inside jokes. I don't know if they're going to catch the tone. My man, Waisan Key, caught the tone. Y'all listen to this. Listen to a sample of my father's song, please. You know him as Big Papa Producer.
You got the attention span of a goldfish. If something ever happened to Laura, you'd be hopeless. If something ever happened to Laura, you'd be dead in a week. Don't forget you almost died drinking sweet tea. BPP. Proper producer.
super. Go ahead, strap in, it's gonna be a roast. From the son who loves you the most. How much ketchup can you actually swallow? I don't think you're supposed to use the whole bottle. If you spill some, thank God for your wife, cause you've never washed clothes in your entire life. Let's not talk about your man crush on John Wayne, or how you can't ever remember anybody's name. The only thing you ever remember are baseball facts. Not even good ones, obscure ones, who cares about that? BPP,
big
proper produce. You hate eating vegetables, but you love having heart attacks. I'd rather take the vegetables, but good luck with that. You love buying books that you never read. Only thing you ever read is obituary.
Y'all, I can't even begin to tell you how much joy that has brought my entire family. My mother, Laura, definitely the most, but dude, we were all dying. Absolutely nailed it. And listen, it's not just me that can get this done. You can get it done too, because our friends at Songfinch are giving you a special deal. Go to songfinch.com/POA to start your own song. And guess what? It gets better. Because for a limited time, Songfinch is letting you stream your song to Spotify, meaning you can listen to it whenever you want, but also you can way more easily share it with people. You can make the playlist public. Everybody can hear your roast or your romantic song, your sentimental song, your serious song, whatever it is that you want. And if you use songfinch.com/POA after you start your song, you're going to get the option to upload to Spotify absolutely free, which is a $50 value, but not around here, baby. Not around here. Absolute perfect gift for someone in your life. If you're feeling overwhelmed, like, oh, I get them a tie every year, I get her a cookbook every year. This is unique. Nobody's getting a gift like this, right? Also, it usually takes them only 4 to 7 days. I got mine in I think 3, right? So it's a very quick turnaround, and these are insanely talented people. They got more than 350,000 happy customers, and I'm one twice over. Go use them and see why they're called the number one custom song making site in the entire world. And again, songfinch.com/POA. That's what you want to do to get a deal on uploading your song to Spotify. Guys, the work speaks for itself. It's awesome. I love you, Songfinch. Songfinch.com/POA.
And now back to the show.
Right. And like, dude, there's a great example of this. And like, I genuinely know, I think this guy is trying, I think he's trying to make something that hits, and I'm not shitting on this guy, but he's an example of where all the comments are horrible. He's this dude, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want people to go shit on him, because I follow him and he has a fun energy. He's definitely a gay dude, which is obviously fine and great even. And he makes, his whole content is, this is my water of the day. So like every day, he puts this right before he goes to work, so he's always in a hurry. He can never get these videos done in time. It's like, I'm on my way to work, but I've got to make my water of the day. And so it's him with a glass of water, and then he has various squirts, powders, and also like syrups, and he uses them to make not water, you know, a completely different drink, but either way, right. He calls it water of the day. And like, he's not doing anything wrong. Right. It is slightly annoying, but like, he seems like he's really just a fun guy who's like, hey, this is positive, this is wholesome, and every comment is just like, hang yourself, please. I hope you choke on this fucking water, you piece of shit. And I'm like, god damn.
The thing about that is, like, I'm sorry, but if you venture out into the wilds of the internet,
you got
to
take it
with your shit, like, yeah, you have to be prepared to deal with
it. Doesn't
that.
Make it right.
You just go back to the house. Yeah. Like, delete your shit, delete your account, and go back to regular life. But if you're going to be fucking around in the internet world, you're going to have to be told to kill yourself.
And listen,
all kinds of things. Like, you just got to deal with it. I don't know what to tell you.
And that's not
looking from experience here.
100%. Yeah, right. Me too. And that's not, we're not trying to justify people who make comments that say kill yourself.
Right.
It's just that. There's no way, there's no legislation, there's no movement, that will be ever, that will be forever. As long as there's anyone posting anything on the internet, it's honestly, especially something positive, someone's going to tell you to drink fucking bleach.
Right. So one last thing about that couple we just showed, I put it in the doc and I titled the clip, I Don't Know Margot. You know what that's from?
Christmas Vacation. I do. That is, the Christmas Vacation says it to Elaine. Elaine
the
is
the neighbor. Because those two kind of reminded me of that that yep. couple in Christmas Vacation, the yuppie character. Why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
We yeah. say a phrase in our family when someone asks a stupid question is, I don't know, Margo.
Yeah. So here's another guy that's in that same vein. I feel like I'm like, why? Who the fuck? Why? You know, but then you look at it and it's like, again, it seems to be an ironic level of hitting. But this dude has 3 times the Instagram followers I do. Instagram's always been my least hitting platform, which is hilarious because it's the most important one. But anyway,
Facebook for me.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, that's maybe the least important one and the one I hit the hardest at. So it all checks out. Anyway, here we go. This dude, yeah, he fits the theme of the show too, I feel like. And he posts nothing but this type of shit.
Is this Tad?
When I'm working from home, because I always give my best effort and stay focused throughout the day. It's all about being accountable and doing the right things. I'm absolutely locked in when I'm working from home, because I always give my best effort.
That's it. Everything is just a little like fucking corporate boardroom pep talk thing. And he looks like an AI generated fucking account manager or something, or, you know, VP of bullshit at, you know, Robco Incorporated.
This is going to make me sound hypocritical, but he should kill himself. This is pretty bad. Right. This is like, why? Who's this for?
Right. But then you go to the comments and it says, like, when your boss follows you on Instagram,
yeah.
I sold this guy an $80 joint. LinkedIn final boss, hate from Ireland.
hate from Ireland.
Yeah, this guy beats his pet bird. Pretty sure there's someone locked in this guy's basement. I kept waiting for a punchline. There was no punchline. My boy was just locked in on doing the right thing.
he beats his pet bird.
Yeah, is this an ad for being an employee? This guy chews soda. He got big old teeth. AI started making people. This man was born to create shareholder value.
Now that I've seen all these comments, there does seem to be like this huge influx of people who are like dick riding CEOs so fucking hard that they start making things like this, because I guess they see a vacuum out there. They're like, oh, there's a lot of people making content that's like pro workers' rights. What if I flip the script and talk about the value of these people who are paying us minimum wage from their yacht, which is a crazy thing to care about?
I agree. I got another one for you. And this guy kind of goes against what we've been talking about a little bit. Cause this, I'm not sharing this dude for the same reasons. I feel like he fits the show cause he's British and you'll see, but, I've never seen the water dude you were talking about, but it sounds to me like this guy is a similar type of thing, but this guy, people are cool to him.
Scientist.
People are cool to him. No, he's not a scientist. He's an enthusiast.
He's a black British scientist.
Major enthusiast of a particular thing.
Oh, yeah, train boy!
So here we go.
I'm here in the middle of a field in Norfolk today after having submerged both of my shoes in cow poo.
I love this guy.
But I'm not going to let that ruin my day, as 56098 is about to scream through the landscape here, hauling approximately 2,000 tons of sand.
How exciting is that?
Go on, dude, bit more.
I love that angle. I love that shit.
Go on.
Unfortunately, I didn't get maximum thrash or any tones, so I decided to chase it to just outside of Wigan.
Right, here she is.
Look how fucking pumped
he loves it, dude.
And it's properly thrashing as well.
He's so stoked,
man.
Look at that. He can't handle it.
No. Dude, he's about to pump his brain.
I would give anything.
Yeah.
People like that.
That's precisely what I wanted.
Anything for God. As long as I haven't felt like that since I was 4.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I kind of get that way about stuff. I'm not going to lie. But, dude, how much better would the world
be? He's crying, bro.
Yeah. Dude, he loves trains.
Tears of joy.
How much better would the world be if Elon Musk got this strain? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Why couldn't he have just got this one? Because, yeah, I follow this dude, and I fucking love him. And which that he's got to know that that one camera angle of that GoPro with the fisheye lens, he's got to know how hilarious that is, right?
Right, I would assume. But anyway, the comments, there's a couple of haters in the comments, but they don't get many likes or whatever. Most of the comments are like, your passion is infectious, never change. I wish I could get this much enjoyment from anything, really, like I just said. You know, it's mostly people encouraging him and stuff,
which is nice.
That's encouraging in itself, especially on Instagram, because, yeah, we say it all the time. But if y'all ain't on Instagram, I mean, I don't necessarily recommend it, but the comments is wild as hell over there.
And
generally.
Often hilarious. And, so long as you hate the video. If you like the video, the comments will drive you crazy. But if you hate the video, the comments are the best place.
And that's it's like we were saying. It's like it seems to center around hate watching and stuff mostly over there. It's wild. It's wild internet subculture that's popped up. I got a couple more things. I'll save that one for last. This one doesn't have a video. I just want to ask you, Cho, would you, did you ever get a new dog? You currently have a dog?
So when I was a very little kid, we got my first dog, who was Maxie. He was a weenie dog. And you won't believe this, but just the fact that he was called a weenie dog hit the hardest for me that anything has ever hit. And then he also hit. His name was Maxwell Smart after the Mel Brooks show.
Sure.
He lasted up until I was in middle school, and his death was very hard. But then our family didn't get – we had some, like, strays that would kind of hang around, but then the next, like, batch of new dogs – we got was when I was in high school, and they weren't like getting me a dog. It was definitely like my mom's dog. So like I only really got given a new dog the once.
I thought you had that dog that died.
Yeah,
a few
Palmer.
Years ago.
But I thought you said get given a dog. I thought you said
I didn't say. Given a dog.
Well, yeah. So two. I've had two.
But currently, you do not have a dog.
I do no, and let me tell you why. Because I'm a huge bitch. I can't do it again, dude. I can't.
Well, this is directly related to that. My question for you is, like, would you clone a dog?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my
like,
God.
If you could go back and clone Palmer, you'd do
it? Yes. Even if it was Pet Sematary shit and he ate everyone but me, absolutely. Dude, I swear to God, I would let the government kill my dad if it brought Palmer back without question, in front of me in any way that they want to kill him. Like the worst, suck his brains through his asshole and me have to watch popcorn, bro. Just, oh yeah, sucks that your brains are going through your asshole, dad. But guess what? Here's my dog. I would love it.
Well, I mean,
you can't
do that with Palmer. He been gone for too long. But you know they can do that. You can do that if you want. You pay the money. Like I mean, it costs like I think it's like $50,000.
Oh, I'd pay it. I mean, like,
did you know that was a thing?
No, but it makes sense because it's always after. I always miss the hit by like a year or two. You know what I mean? Like apparently now they're like, if you're already bald, there ain't nothing we can do for you. But if you're just about to go bald, oh, we got this stuff and you'll never go bald. But I went bald right before all that shit. I miss all the hits.
I'm going to maybe end up making this not hit for you, which is sort of the point of this whole little segment here. I'm going to see if it changes your mind at all. But first, I want to say it is a real thing. It got popularized or found out about when a very, very raven person engaged in the procedure. No, but it's just as raven as her. Person got her little dogs cloned.
Paris Hilton. Of them.
Barbara Streisand paid like $100,000 to get two of her dogs cloned a couple years ago. And it was like it went viral and people were like, holy shit, you can do that. But you can do that. Here's the thing. Some people.
I should be more blown away. I'm not going to lie. I should be more blown away.
Well, some people are adamantly opposed to it for a few reasons. First of all, the way that they have to do it, right, is like they can use your dog's DNA to like clone an embryo of your dog, but that embryo has to be carried to term by a living dog, right? Like an existing dog. So like,
well, we do that with women.
Right. They have to sign up for it. You're talking about like service?
Yeah, surrogates.
They sign up, they get paid.
Okay, okay, okay. Hold on just a second. We breed dogs all the time without fucking asking them what to do.
I know. But so, again,
fuck these pieces of shit, dude. Do whatever the fuck you want to a goddamn dog.
I thought you were a bleeding heart when it comes to dogs. Like I said, you know I don't give a fuck. Baby farms. I don't give a shit.
Hurt the fucking dog, but dogs aren't hurt by pregnancy. That's a natural thing that I know we're going about this in an unnatural way, but like, dude, it's a dog having dogs. That's all dogs do. And then they get hit by a fucking car and I cry.
Right. So, hold on a second. They take the cultured somatic cells from the animal they're cloning and insert it into an egg that they take out of a different dog. But reportedly that procedure of taking the egg, the blank egg, I don't fucking know. The egg they take out of a different dog, right? That procedure is apparently not that bad. It don't hurt them or nothing. But right. They take eggs from other dogs. They put this cultured somatic cell from the clone dog in the egg. And then in some real life Frankenstein shit, they like zap that. you have to zap it.
Like make it come or like.
No, like with electricity. Like fucking. Right. Like Frankenstein did.
That's
like,
crazy.
You have to zap. Yeah. When you do that, you put this stuff in the egg stuff. Then you got to jolt it. Right. Or it won't work, right? But you electrify it, and then now it hits. now you got a full set of genetic information, just like you would have in a viable embryo. That electrical burst also jumpstarts cell division. And then after a few days, they can surgically implant this embryo into another animal, a surrogate mother, right?
Okay. All right. So I was about to ask, and I was not trying to be funny. I just wanted to know, was like that did you mean that when they zap it, like it's in the dog's pussy?
It's in a petri dish or whatever the fuck when they zap it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then I would be like, okay, don't be electrocuting dog snatch. That don't hit.
So a lot of people are like, you got to have egg donor dogs. You got to have surrogate mama dogs. Right. And I know you're like, dogs have dogs. We breed dogs all the time. That's true. But like, this is like, these dogs live in a lab and exist to be impregnated give birth,
I'm out. No, like, I'm out now.
They probably take good care of them.
I know. But like, in my mind,
although
when
they
you
are
first
scientists, so, you know, you never know.
Well, in my mind, when you said that, which it makes total sense now, like in order to clone the dog, it would have to go in like a dog that was being watched closely or whatever. But I thought it was just like, they were like, Barbara Streisand was like, hey, who got a dog, you know, we'll just put this dog in there. But like, no, I'm not about it if they're being treated like fucking cattle.
Right. Well, it's even worse. So like cattle. No, I'm not saying they're being treated worse than cattle. It's worse than I've made it sound so far, because it's not a one-to-one thing. It don't always take. It's like 20% or less uptake rate. So one of the earlier clone dogs was named Snuppy. And this is not one of Barbara Streisand's dogs. That this was like a different dog. Snuppy, the dog, got cloned. Okay. In order to clone Snuppy, it took more than 1,000 embryos implanted into 123 surrogate dog moms.
What happened to the dogs?
To make one clone. The pregnancies just failed. They have dog miscarriages or whatever. They don't, you know, they don't hit. And then. And it took. And it took, you know, 120. But they've gotten better since then. But still, it's like a lot of dogs are involved in the process of successfully cloning one dog, which is why it's so expensive. But also, the other thing is, and maybe you wouldn't give a fuck about this part, I don't know, but I wanted to ask you about this part, too. People point out that, like, and of course this is true when you really think about clones at all or whatever, but they're not, like, what they really are.
It's a copy.
They're clones, but it would be more accurate to say it's a twin of your dog that was born at a different time.
Of course. Yeah, so,
if you had twins, if you had twins, you would not look at one of them as being, oh, that's also Palmer.
Yeah.
That'd be Palmer and Chalmer or whatever. Right. You'd look at them as two different dogs.
Yeah.
And that's really fundamentally, that's all this is. It's just this long, elaborate process. And it's like it creating a twin where you would not otherwise have had a twin. But right. Like,
which, yeah, but
it ain't the same dog.
I know it's not the same dog. However, it's like, but it's the same dog genetically, which means that like your relationship with this dog, this new dog, is going to effectively mirror your relationship with the last one, because they are genetically going to respond to your treatment the same way the other dog did. So you will form a similar bond. Like its personality, their personalities will be very similar because their genetic code is the same, which I think would be enough for me, because what I loved about Palmer was how he wasn't like other dogs. You know what I mean? He was like a loner. He was just kind of chilling shit. And like having another that, even if it didn't look like Palmer, if someone said, hey, this dog will act just like Palmer, I'd be like, give me that fucking dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, not if they're being treated like fucking cattle. I know that somebody has already logged off of this show after they heard me being like, I don't give a fuck, impregnate all the bitches. And now they're not hearing my redemption.
Yeah.
But no, that don't hit. I would like to ask you this, and you may not know, that person that it took like 1,000 embryos and 100 dogs, like, did they have to repay every time that happened?
No.
Okay.
No,
so it's kind of so. Like, I'm giving you this money, you got to make it work.
I said it was 50,000. It might be even more than that. It's very expensive, but that's the reason it's so expensive, is because it's a very laborious process, right? Laborious, no pun intended. Labor, you know, like having lab. A baby going into labor. Lab. Yeah. Lab.
Labor.
All that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on. But first, let's hear from a word from our sponsors, and we will be right back right after this. Hey, everybody. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in the bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, but it's in chewable tablets, and it's at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime. Rather, day or night, so you can plan ahead or just be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Boing, your wiener. Process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward wiener conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Y'all know that I'm a massive Blue Chew devotee, and I've always been one to say, listen, it doesn't just have to be for people who do have trouble down there. Although if you do, it'll do the job for you. It's just, if you want a little extra confidence, you want it to be guaranteed. Sometimes stress can just get to us and it's like, oh God, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to, you know, make it work. And the no awkward conversations at the pharmacy, very important to me, because as y'all know, I've said it a million times, I went to high school with my pharmacist, so she don't need to know my business. All right. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for, am I reading this correct? Free? Yeah, it's free. All you got to do is use our promo code POA at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code POA to receive your first month for free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Skew. So have y'all ever heard of that Lumi whole body deodorant? You probably have seen it on TikTok or something. It's very insanely popular. You've probably seen the ads with the founder. Her name is Shannon, and she's showing you how you can put the deodorant on your butt crack and whatnot, which, you know, is appealing. But it's marketed towards women. Well, now, by the way, they have Lumi for men. It's my friends over at Mando here. Yeah, I've got it, the whole body deodorant. And it's for pits, packages, and feet. It works all over. The scent I have here is Mount Fuji, and I love it so much. It's just got that classic, manly, fresh, I just came from the barber shop almost, and I'm just like, you know, ready to go. Fresh. Date night, baby. But speaking of the butt crack part, I walk a lot in the woods, and I do actually like to deodorize my butt crack and put stuff in there. But I thought, well, I don't want, you know, to put the same stick there that I put on my pits. And they sent me this whole body cream deodorant, and I've genuinely never seen anything like it. It's deodorant, but it's in like a lotion tube, and you just squirt it in your hand, rub it on your pits, rub it on your feet, which I do, and rub it in your crack, and you're good to go. Also, here's the thing. It's aluminum-free, and I've been on aluminum-free deodorant for a while, like really trying to, you know, buckle down and give it a go because I know it's better for me. But every single aluminum-free deodorant I've used has one problem, and it's that it doesn't work at being a deodorant. I don't know if y'all get that with some of the brands, but Mando, I feel insanely fresh. It's got 72-hour odor control. Now, I would never go 72 hours without reapplying deodorant, but you can, and you're still going to smell like Mount Fuji. By the way, I'm showing you both types of deodorant, but I really want to talk about my favorite part, which is their soap. Unfortunately, I can't show it to you because I just used the last of it because I'm a 2 to 3 showers a day kind of guy, and I'm a soap fiend. I'm always going and buying the artisanal soaps because I think they smell better. You know, I feel like they're better for me. And Mando's soap that I got, I walk out of the shower feeling and smelling like a mountain man, but in the good way, like a mountain man that has showered, not a mountain man after he's done some mountain stuff, after he's done took a shower in the spring. You get it. I love it, y'all. And again, the cream deodorant, this is so great for me just to like keep it in my car because I'm always going on walks. And anytime I want to, just squirt, pits, feet, butt crack, neck folds, because you know I've got them, right? It's awesome. Could not speak more highly about Mando. It's safe to use everywhere, by the way. Aluminum-free, baking soda-free, dye-free, and also cruelty-free. They ain't taking your dog and being like, hey, Fido, come here. Let's see how this smells on you right there. Let's shave a little spot on your neck. They don't do that. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with the solid stick deodorant that I've got here, the cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes. Oh, jeez, I forgot about the deodorant wipes that I keep in my car in case Amber's like, hey, I know you're walking, but like you need to meet me at this restaurant. I just get it all done, smell great, good to go. Free shipping too, by the way. Luckily, I have a discount code that's going to help you get hooked on my favorite smelling whole body deodorant on the market. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code that equates to over 40% off of your starter pack. So use code POA at shopmando.com. shopmando.com. That is code POA at shopmando.com. If you're watching this episode, it's right here on your screen. Do it to it, guys. This is my favorite deodorant on the market. Actually, you know what? My favorite's the cream one. Same company, though. And I like this stuff, but the cream, just something different about it. I like it. Use it.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
What's up, everybody? We're back. It's time once again for History of Professor Cho, I guess. I guess that's what we're doing. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I fucking told you yesterday.
That's right. The Booth family.
That's right.
Like of John Wilkes fame. And it's funny because
he was
the least famous of the... I'm saying the Booth family as in... But today, objectively speaking, the Booth family is primarily known for John Wilkes.
Of course.
Which is ironic because... Well, I guess it's not ironic. I guess it's part of the whole thing. That was not the case back then, right? He was like the Stephen Baldwin of the Booth family.
Or I'm going to
Daniel Baldwin or...
That is definitely...
Billy. He wasn't Alec.
He was a Baldwin. That's right. For sure. Actually, I have... Upon my research from him, I'm actually thinking that I don't want to compare him to the Baldwin family just because a lot of things that we've heard about...
I mean, John and Alec both murdered, you know. So
yeah, they both shot somebody they... Not a shot.
Yeah.
It's just that...
Just kidding, Alec, if you're listening. We know
except
you are.
For when Alec did it, it didn't hit for nobody.
I don't know. Like, I don't know, dude. I think it did kind of hit for a lot of people, frankly.
You mean like it hit for them that like, oh, good, now we get...
That he had fucked up.
That he had fucked up, yeah.
He's a huge Hollywood liberal. Dude, conservatives were all over that
they
shit.
They were.
Jerking off over it. And so, like, it totally hit for him that he killed that lady. Just because her being dead, they would trade her life to be
That's
able
true.
To dunk on a Hollywood liberal on the internet. 100 times out of 100, bro. Like,
man, you're
they
not
bring
wrong.
Her back and kill her again, man. If it meant they could keep dunking on Alec Baldwin, they don't give a fuck.
Man, you're so right. But okay, so a lot of what we've heard, in my opinion, about John Wilkes Booth has been a little bit of revisionist history. And I'm about,
to pick the case of John Wilkes Booth hit. Is that
yes,
what
I am.
Doing? What?
Yes, I am.
Come on, bro.
Okay, hold on. Let me say
this. We've both been watching Manhunt, right?
Yes, we have.
You say that show's historically inaccurate? Because he don't seem to hit on that show.
He don't seem to hit as a person who just killed the president, but they're not really talking about a lot. Like, I know that they show a couple of the scenes with him and his brother where they're having, like, the arguments back and forth of, like, I hit at Caesar more than you. No, I hit more. I'm aware of that, but they were closer than what people give them credit for. And here's what I'm here to tell you. I believe that the only reason that we think that is because after John Wilkes Booth did what he did, there was a lot of people that were treating him the same way that a lot of liberals today treat Kid Rock, right? They try to act like he never hit, right? Yeah. And it's like, it's fine to think he don't hit now. We know that he don't hit now. He killed the president. But to sit there in your lies and act like, to pretend that at no point did he ever hit, you fucking fool yourself, sir. John Wilkes Booth did indeed hit.
You know who else is just like this? Who exactly like this? I've been thinking about it a lot because of their tragic passing. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
One of the greatest running backs of all time.
And they act, and comedic actors of the 80s, and they act like it never fucking happened.
Yeah, it's true, man. It's true. It's like, you know, if you're a football fan, and, you know, we both are. I'm a colossal football fan. It's like, and he was before my time, but like,
you still knew.
It just, like, I mean, I'm sorry, but it purely just talking about just football alone, one of the GOATs, man.
Yes.
I mean, like, well, he had a 2,000-yard season in 14 games. That's fucking nuts, bro.
Yes. And a lot of people.
He had 273 yards in a game they lost because the Bills were sorry as hell when he was there. He was the only thing they had, which means the box was stacked on every play and they still couldn't stop him. He was still running for over 200, 250 yards every time. Like, I mean, he was real good, y'all.
People that act like he
killed
hit.
That lady, but he was a good football player.
But there are people that are like, oh, his career at USC wasn't even that good in the business. And I want to strangle them and go, hold on. Do you realize that the reason his trial was so huge is because he hit?
Right.
If he didn't hit, I'm not saying it wouldn't have still got some coverage, but it wouldn't have been the trial of the fucking century because it was the fall from grace. The reason that he wasn't a great actor. The reason he was in fucking Naked Gun is because he hit so hard at football that he was very, very popular. And right. You know what I'm saying? Like, if OJ truly didn't hit at football, it would have just been a regular asshole murder.
Right. Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Not at all.
Well, John Wilkes Booth would have gone down in the annals of history as one of the hittinest goddamn actors of all time.
I don't buy that.
He literally was.
The reason I don't buy it, Corey, is because no one knows or gives the single first fuck about anybody in the acting profession before the advent of cinema.
Okay,
you say
that's true.
No, full of shit.
I'm not saying
tell me one other goddamn pre-cinema actor right now. Fucking.
That's not what we're doing here. I'm not talking about the average.
He wouldn't be remembered.
Shut the fuck up. He would be against theater historians. Yes, he fucking would.
Well, okay.
But that's what I'm talking about here.
My sons know who John Wilkes
Booth
is.
I don't give a fuck about your sons. I mean, I do. I love your son. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the general public regarding him as this. I'm just talking about if you were a student of theatrical history, yes, he would have been. Because his father 100% was considered that. His father was the most famous actor in England, by the way. His father, an immigrant, which eventually made John Wilkes Booth a self-hater because he railed against immigrants and thought they didn't have any you know, place in this country. His father was the best actor in England, which was crazy when he left because everybody's like, dude, you hit so hard here. What the fuck are you doing? He goes over to America and inarguably hits even harder in America. And that's another reason I don't necessarily want to compare him to the Baldwins. Like, honestly, He's more like, it's more like if Emilio Estevez had killed the president, maybe, because like at the time, Charlie, his brother Edwin was more, his brother Edwin had started out more popular than him, right? That's inarguable, but that's only because he started acting before John Wilkes Booth. Once John decided, I kind of want to go into this, Edwin helped him along. He was like, great, it's like the family business. The reason that John didn't get into it before is because his dad, John Wilkes Booth, did not hit for his dad. Like, for whatever reason, he just didn't hit for him, even though he hit really hard for his mom. Now, his mom...
It was all that Confederate-y stuff, or did that come later?
No, it's funny that you say that, because that did come later.
His dad was like, I wish he didn't love slavery, you know, in which case, I get it.
No, here's the thing, is that, like, all that Confederate stuff did come later, and I'll get to that in a minute, but, like...
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg thing. Like, I was... He got into all that Confederate stuff and shot the president because his daddy didn't love him or whatever.
Right.
His dad didn't love him because he was a, you know, a surly Confederate. But I got a like practical question when it comes to, oh, he was hugely famous. His whole family was acting dynasty. I've always wondered this when this comes up, and I wondered it while watching Manhunt. Let's say you're a wealthy planter in Georgia, in like Atlanta back in this time, right? So, you know, you got slaves galore and all that, but putting that aside, like, there's no movies or anything. Like, if John Wilkes Booth is in New York and D.C. doing plays and being heralded as a great, how the fuck are you famous in Georgia? Like,
he did do plays in Georgia.
Papers. So they went on the road. They took went the on, show the on the road. Okay.
Matter of fact, his dad, whose name was Junius Brutus Booth.
His real name?
His real name was Junius Brutus Booth, which would end up being ironic on account of John Wilkes's affiliation with Brutus, as far as like an allegory for what he did went. I mean, he literally quoted the motherfucker when he jumped off the stage.
I wonder if he just, you know, like, be funny, a guy with that name, Junius Brutus Boot, going by JB. People call him Jables. You know what I mean?
Jables. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
But his dad actually, like, he was on tour so much when John Wilkes and Edwin were kids. Now, by the way, there were 9 kids all together.
Yeah, the mother 7 just didn't hit, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not at being alive.
They were women.
Yeah. Well, no, one of them was a woman, and I can't wait to get to that because, like,
8 boys and 1 girl?
No. Well, I don't know. I didn't keep up with which ones were what because they didn't hit.
It's
because 3 of them died of cholera within 1 month of each other. And this destroyed, you will have that. That's why you have 9.
Exactly.
And that destroyed his mom. And which is why, like, after that happened, when John Wilkes was born, like, she made it her mission in life to like dote on him like big time. So like, even though his father didn't care for him, his mom, he was a big mama's boy because she loved him. Like, she would always fill his head full of shit, like, oh, you're going to be great. I had a prophecy. She hired a soothsayer. That's true in the show. She hires a soothsayer to come see him. But really, the prophecy that they talk about, that his mom's prophecy that came true, when he was a baby, they were looking into the fire, and she was looking for a sign from the fire, and she could have sworn that she saw the fire spell out the word country. And she took that to mean one day John will affect the country in a way that is unfathomable. And she used to tell him that all the time, which I maintain is like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, he heard that a lot, and then he got all Confederacy also, and he's like, I'm supposed to shoot the president.
Also, she lucky that they got over all that burning women at the stake shit.
No shit, bro.
Sounds like she was witchy as hell. Fucking fire prophecies and soothsayers and stuff. Goddamn.
And Junius, the dad died when John was 14, but his dad was on the road all the time. So like, they did that. Like, they went on the road and he would play the South. Like, he would play all these big theaters. And actually, Edwin was the only one that ended up not playing the South. And that's because, and I swear to you, I knew he had brothers and sisters, and I was like, well, they're not as bad as him by comparison, but like, surely they weren't all like staunch liberals and their brother just happened to be a Confederate. He just took it too far. But actually, that's not the case. Like, Edwin was like a very staunch pro-unionist. Him and his brother had stopped speaking because John Wilkes was just going off on all this fucking wild shit, which even though him and his dad didn't have a good relationship, and his dad was, when he wasn't on the road and he came home, he could have been like, he was like a violent drunk or whatever. But like, from a morality standpoint, at least what he believed in the sense of like human equality and stuff, his dad was very anti-slavery. His dad was very not uppity for like a British stage actor. Like he apparently his wife was always mad at him because he was always giving away their money to people who didn't have anything. Like there would be, you know, beggars and stuff on the street, and he'd just be like, I've got so much, they can have it, you know. But he didn't take himself too seriously in that. He was like, hey, I play Caesar on stage and I make a shit ton of money doing it. You can have this. And he actually drew the ire of a lot of the townsfolks in Maryland where he lived, because he would have other people's, he would like go get other people's slaves and feed them at his house and like have dinner with them, because he didn't believe in all that. He was like that. He's like, I'm not superior to anyone because of my skin color, because of my profession, for whatever. And so Edwin and the rest of the family, that's what they grew up believing. And which, you know, so it turns out people in the arts back then were also woke. And you know right. what I mean? Like, that's nothing new. And John Wilkes Booth sort of grew up that way, but his hatred of Abraham Lincoln came specifically because of his dedication to his home state of Maryland. So if you know anything about Maryland during the Civil War, which I do, obviously, because I'm from
a state that was neutral, right?
Slave state that was neutral, called a border state, right?
Along with Kentucky and Missouri.
That is correct. And so what happened there was Maryland wanted their slaves, obviously, but they did not want to secede from the Union. I think maybe because they were like, man, it's paperwork. God damn. Like, I don't want to do that shit. So they basically told the government, like Lincoln and all these people, they were like, look, all right, we're not going to secede from the Union, so y'all don't have to worry about us. But what we want y'all to do for us, since we're doing that for you, is that we don't want there to be any federal troops moving through Maryland. Like, if you could do that, we will not secede from the Union. And Lincoln and them were like, okay, well, I don't know if you know where Washington, D.C. is and the fact that we are currently in conflict, but if you're trying to prevent us from having federal troops in the state of Maryland, that is going to make Washington, D.C. and me extremely vulnerable to Confederate attacks. So, like, no, we can't do that. And they're like, well, you're going to do that. And he's like, well, we can't. So Abraham Lincoln, in a very unpopular move for a lot of Marylandians, how would you say people from Maryland?
Marylanders.
Maybe. To a lot of Terrapin folk.
Yeah, turtle people.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln just kind of repealed habeas corpus and starts arresting all these, you know, the governor and all these state officials from Maryland and holding them like without trial, just like, hey, fuck you. I don't know what to tell you, but like, we've got to have a military presence here because it is bordering fucking D.C. When they do this, they also enact martial law in the state. And that pissed a lot of Maryland people off because they just found that to be tyrannical. John Wilkes Booth amongst them. And so he starts his big time hatred for Lincoln. And a lot of people suggest, we actually had I had a Substack person mail me this, and I wish I had it in front of me so I could say their name. But that Booth used to go stay with some Southern friends like in the summer or whatever. And while he was there, like, he really got attracted to the Southern way of life and was like, you know, I'm aware that my daddy says that slaves are equal, but like, it seems to hit. To have slaves. Like,
right.
These people got it made down here. Like, they're all rich, but they ain't doing shit. Yeah. So that's where his, like, Southern sympathies began.
Look, slavery ain't it, and it ought not be, but, like,
does hit.
I'm sure it probably does hit two halves.
For, yeah, for sure.
I'm not advocating nobody should be allowed to have slaves. You can't slaves, deny. But, like, if you did have them, like, no wonder they didn't want to give them up.
Of course.
They didn't ever have to do nothing.
Right.
Now they got to either do everything or pay somebody to do it. Like, imagine having everything done for you and you don't even have to pay for that. Like,
I can't.
Lord.
Like, I know, man. And like, you know, now the moral the moral hoops that they had to jump in their head to also go, and it's not wrong because, like, that's obviously where I have the most problem with you. Like, not that I wouldn't have a problem with any type of slave owner, but if there was a slave owner that was like, this is horrible, this is a terrible way to be, but it hits, I'd be like, well, at least
kind of how George Washington was, actually.
Franklin, too.
He was like, who'd you say to?
Franklin.
Yeah, George Washington was like, he kind of acknowledged that slavery wasn't cool. And then when he died,
he freed him.
Freed all his slaves and stuff. Yeah. But he was like, but
I mean,
they do hit. And I'm going to get him. I'm going to keep them. But as soon as I'm
grass
gone
on the field, you know.
Right, yeah. As soon as I'm gone, then they can go be people and whatnot. But until then, I'm going to need them to keep cleaning this house.
Freed all of them, some of whom were toothless because those teeth were in George Washington's head. Yeah, did you know that?
No,
those were not wooden teeth. That was a myth. Those were
slave teeth.
Slave teeth. That was a myth.
I get why they
changed it.
Changed that. It's a good change.
It's a good change.
Good change. Yeah.
But yeah, those were just his slave's teeth. And dude, imagine how bad your teeth must hit if you're like, I could use some slave's teeth. Because, like, I don't think they're letting them brush their teeth.
Like,
do that?
You could just take a tooth out of somebody and shove it up into your own mouth.
I don't know.
No.
They made dentures out of them. They made dentures out of them.
Teeth. Yeah, and then they just wore them like dentures. Yeah.
But I think my point still stands.
Like, you know, like
sticking it through the roof.
Plugging it in there. Yeah, right.
It's work. I think my point still stands. And this is nothing against slaves because it wasn't their fault, but like their teeth couldn't have hit.
No.
You know what I mean? You'd think like.
But I don't think nobody's teeth back then hit. They probably were just younger, I would assume. Like, their teeth had not been allowed to hit for as long.
George Washington had just tiny chiclet teeth.
Yeah, because, I mean, no one's teeth hit back then, right? Because they didn't know any tooth stuff.
Right.
Right? So, you just got old and your teeth stopped hitting.
Right.
So, if you got a 17-year-old slave with them good fresh teeth.
Right.
You know. What are you going to do?
another point that I wanted to bring up of what did we decide we were going to call it when we know we're talking out of our ass? We talk out of our ass all the time, but sometimes we don't know we are. It was like the skewing speculations or whatever.
I don't remember what you're talking about.
We talked about it in text that we needed to have a whole segment where we just postulated stuff under the auspice of like, we don't know what we're talking about. Then I was like, well, that is kind of what the whole show is. Yeah. But a dedicated moment where we'd be like, okay, you can be mad any other time we fuck up, but in this, we've got grace. So I wanted to posit.
Yeah, postulate. Both work.
It's both. Work.
You're doing good.
John Wilkes Booth would have had a British accent. Probably.
Why?
Both of his parents did.
Yeah. I don't know why, but for some reason, it don't work like that.
Does it not?
No. I mean, ain't you ever noticed, like, I'm trying to, like, Tushar. Tushar's parents have accents. He don't have an accent.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the children of immigrants, and again, I don't know why. I guess it's just
they're grown going up to around school, everybody else.
The kids and stuff. But, like, weirdly, though, I got a buddy who's Australian, and he married a girl from Livingston, which is right by Salina. And he's like an international finance man. He hits real hard. And so they've lived all over the world, and they have kids. And, so his kids have grown up. I don't know that his kids have ever lived in America. I think his kids were born in Australia, I think. Then they lived in England and then Switzerland and who knows where else. And I asked him what accent his kids had, and he said they sound like little Americans and always have.
Wow.
So explain that.
I mean, I guess
their mom is American, but their dad, you know, talks like this, mate. And then they've never lived in America, but he said they have American accents.
That part,
always have.
The fact that they've never lived in America blows my theory out of the water, because I would have been like, well, Tushar, yes, his parents
he grew
had
up in Alabama, but went to school in Alabama.
Then
there, it's like, you know, why don't he, you know, fucking talk like that? Alabama. Yeah, right.
Because he does, but he's doing it on purpose to make fun of us.
Yeah, right. So children of immigrants. I met some comics and stuff who have like, they're like Asian immigrant parents and shit. And they grew up in LA though, and they sound like an Angeleno. They sound like just a regular old American. So no, I don't think he'd have a British accent.
Well, speaking of foreigners, what do you think John Wilkes Booth's sister was named?
Frenchie?
Asia. Her name was Asia.
My neighbor growing up was named Asia.
Yeah, okay.
Shout out Asia. I just saw her not long ago.
It's not wrong to be named Asia. It's just that seems an odd choice to me. Although, granted, they were progressives, but like that just seems an odd choice to me in 1850 to name your daughter Asia.
But didn't they used to, women back then, they're named like Providence, Prudence,
yeah,
Majesty, right? They had all them, yeah, you know, Flo Ride, fucking... Women had wild names.
They did. It's just like Asia is like such a wild name. The
dudes were just fucking, you know.
John.
Yeah. William. Edwin. Fucking, yeah. Edwin married to fucking, you know, Apple or whatever. I don't think. But yeah, Asia.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it might be more like if Ned Beatty shot the president.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of people, by the way, and this is going back to, there was, this is going, although, no, see, the thing that John Wilkes Booth had going for him was that everybody regarded him as more attractive than Edwin, which they would never say Ned Beatty was more attractive than Warren. But there was a lot of people, there was a lot of people who, like, again, back then, the popular opinion was when John Wilkes Booth first started out, it was like, okay, he's a little green. He's kind of, he's coming into his own, though. Like, he'll eventually get it. And then there were plenty of people who, once he finally came into his own, were like, look, his brother's the more popular because he's been doing it longer. But John Wilkes Booth possesses more genius for the craft.
Joe, I looked this up to make sure before I just blurted it out, but Ned Beatty was not even related to Warren Beatty.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you said,
why
that.
Not?
Look, I know that their name, I know that their name is both Beatty, but as soon as you said that, I was like, in my head, I was like, hold up. I was like, Ned was Warren's brother? Because that's fucking,
I thought he
rough.
Was like his cousin,
know,
or something.
I know that Ned hit as an actor or whatever, but damn. Like,
okay.
It'd but they look like, up and they're not related at all. They just share the same last name and they were both born the same year in 1937.
All right, let me throw a couple more at you. It'd be like if Clint Howard shot the president.
There you go. Yeah.
Or
right, but Clint Howard, but John Wilkes Booth, he hit harder than Clint Howard. I love Clint Howard, but
he did, you know, hit harder than Clint Howard. Okay. All right. How about this one? And this kind of fits narratively. Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Randy, but here's the thing. Edwin was actually known as being more of the comedian, because back then, like, obviously this is true today. There's people who are comedic actors, right? Edwin was known for being more of one of those than John Wilkes Booth. Do you know what they called just a regular actor who didn't do comedic roles back then? I want to bring this back because I think it sounds better than dramatic actor, personally.
No, I have no idea.
Just think of the opposite of comedian.
A dramatist?
Tragedian.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Which I think is fucking cool. Like, I think that's really cool, but like, a lot of people said, like, John Wilkes Booth is shaping up to be the foremost tragedian of his generation. That's what his father was known for. He's like the best tragedian. So like, they would call him thespians. Obviously they'd call him actors, but like, if you were someone who all of your roles you were playing the fucking dude that stood and delivered the big monologues and you weren't the comedic piece, you were a tragedian. You were someone that could go up there and literally just read Macbeth by yourself. Like, cause you know, that happened a lot where it's like, we're not doing a whole play. It's just, this guy's going to go up here and he's going to read this portion of Macbeth. And then he's going to read this portion of Henry V or whatever. And that was just, you know, kind of the deal. But back to your thing earlier about like, you know, how would these dudes be like world famous? It was crazy to me because like whenever I first heard that, like, you know, John Wilkes Booth shot the president and like, oh, he was an actor. I'm not going to lie. My first thought was like, they had them back then. You know, I was like, oh, what do you mean? And then it's like, oh, a stage actor. And they're like, oh, well, he was a really famous one. They were like, it would have been like if George Clooney had shot the president. And then I read on a little bit further and people were like, no, it wouldn't have been. It would have been like if Stephen Baldwin did it. But again, I'm here to suggest to you that that's not true, that John Wilkes Booth, had he not done this, would be, if you were to read the history of theater in Washington, D.C. and across America at the time, he would have absolutely been regarded as a great actor, 100%. Matter of fact, he was one of Lincoln's favorites.
Yeah, they say that in the first episode.
That's true.
That guard guy tells him, because he talks shit about Lincoln. The guy tells him, you know, you hit for him, right? Yeah. Anyway, whatever. I just read, quick side note, just because I looked up the Ned Beatty thing, because I just had to know.
They're not related at all?
No, not at all. Ned Beatty's from Kentucky, so that hits. But his on-screen debut. He was a stage actor, like JWB here, and his on-screen debut was fucking Deliverance, dude. You talk about
what?
Yeah, it was
that
his
was
very,
his debut.
That was his debut. He's like, "Welcome to Hollywood. Time to get your butt fucked." Yeah. You know?
Oh, they told me
publicly in front of everybody
in Kentucky. They said this was what it would be like.
Yeah, right. It'd be funny, like, see him arguing with people in Kentucky before going to Hollywood or something about that.
Yeah,
you know, a bunch of butt fuckers out there, like, ah, hell, it'll be fine. And then smash cut to him doing Deliverance or throwing the script for Deliverance down. Like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
This is a side note as it relates to this show, but it's definitely on topic with what you just said here. And I promise to be brief. But do you remember that Burt Kreischer story where his dad is convinced that Will Smith wanted to fuck him?
Yeah.
How fucking validated do you think his dad's feeling right now with all this P. Diddy shit?
Okay. But Will Smith ain't been implicated.
No, but I'm just saying, before, right? You know, Burt's dad's like, I told you that shit was going on. Like,
right, yeah.
I'm just saying, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
You ain't wrong.
So, Junius, I know I'm going back and forth, but it's just how my brain works. I haven't been going off notes. I've just been fucking spitting. So, Junius, his father, this is how hard he actually hit and how hard the Booth family hit. Walt Whitman considered Junius the greatest tragedian in the world. So, like, that's a real game-recognized game thing. But critics also felt that way. But they called him the mad tragedian because he was just this very eccentric guy. You know, like I'd mentioned earlier about how he would constantly just give half of his money away to fucking people that other people would refer to as derelicts and shit. But he would also just, on occasion, no-show his events. And, like, people were 100%. I mean, there was plenty of people who were like, I'm just going to see the play Julius Caesar. But there was a lot of people who were like, I'm going to see Junius Brutus Booth, you know. And He would just no-show the events. And people were like, oh, he must have got drunk and forgot. And then, like, hours after the play, they would find him pretty close by in his costume, just in the woods, just walking around, just sort of just fucking, you know, just kind of losing his goddamn mind.
I was going to make something of that, but like you do that literally every day, don't you?
I do. Yep.
Yeah. Right. So, yep. You know,
not during work though. I do my job. You
do it out there?
Yeah. But I'm saying like,
right. So, I'm just around in the woods, fucking, you've got a phone in your hand, but you're still not fucking. You know,
but I'm not supposed to be
fucking being wild.
That's true, but I'm not
saying all kinds of shit.
Right, but I'm not supposed to be. But I'm not supposed to be across the street at the community theater doing fucking Hamlet. Because if I was, okay. Yeah,
like, I missed that. I thought you meant like afterwards.
No. He no-showed him, and so they thought like he just forgot, but like he didn't forget. He was in his outfit. He just on his way to the theater. Oh, I guess.
You ought not be doing that.
Apologize to me now.
That's not, well, I didn't. I wasn't saying nothing about you that ain't true.
That's
I wasn't
very
saying,
true.
I wasn't saying that you no-show things because I missed that part of what you said. So
right.
Anyway.
Anyways, he was eccentric in this way, but he was also, again, this goes against like sort of John Wilkes. It's almost like, you know, this happens all the time where like your parents are really conservative and therefore the kid ends up being super liberal. And I know we talked about it a lot where like it rarely goes the other way, but it really does seem like that's what happened with John Wilkes Booth because his father was not only someone who was staunchly against slavery, someone who was super, well, I say he was pro-union. He died before the split, so it's not like he knew to pick a side. But, like, you know, he was against slavery. He felt equal to everybody. But, dude, he was also against killing of any kind, and I do mean animals. And I not only animals, like, he was a vegetarian when, like, nobody was that. But he also forbade his children of killing insects. Like, if he caught his kid killing a spider, he would whip their goddamn ass because he had like, he would, dude. Because he was
so
like,
funny. Yes, it's so funny to me.
And it's hilarious.
Beating the shit out of a child because they killed the spider.
Yeah.
How dare you harm a living thing?
Right.
Fucking idiot. And just get the rod, go to town on him.
Yeah, dude. You know,
a little counterintuitive there, Jables. But okay.
It's never good to beat your kids, and there's never been a time period in which getting beat would hit. But I gotta feel like them 1850s whoopings had to go hard.
Yeah, I also feel like that's a really horrible time to not be able to kill bugs. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was all kinds of goddamn bugs back then. You know, have you noticed all these bugs be gone?
And like, it's like you don't know how to feel about it.
Not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. And matter of fact,
I remember as a kid, dude, in the summertime,
it was nothing but bugs.
Our vehicle, you know, you couldn't even see through the windshield. You took like an hour long drive, you'd have to use those squeegee things because you just have a fucking just a whole field of dead bugs on your windshield, and now that just don't happen.
It ain't as many turkeys anymore either. Did you know that?
I did not.
And I'm the one that figured it out. I mean, I'm sure other people were looking into it, but like, I independently came to this. I didn't see no shit on the internet. I've been in the woods for a long time, and like a couple years ago when I first started being in the woods, I just noticed I didn't see no goddamn turkeys. And I know that sounds crazy to you, but when I was a kid, one of our hobbies, me and Kirby, we would go to the woods and chase turkeys.
Look for turkeys.
Yeah. Like, we wouldn't hunt them. Like, we didn't kill them, but like, we would try to chase them down. And like, dude, a turkey can fuck it. The OJ of birds, bro.
Yeah.
Like, a turkey can fucking go, boy. Yeah. They can go. And like, so my dad would take us out there, and like, she would wear her soccer cleats or her softball cleats, and I would wear my football cleats, and like, we would fucking just like haul ass for these turkeys. And I was like, I don't see no motherfucking turkeys. And like, in the park, you're not allowed to shoot the turkeys. And I looked it up. Turns out, national turkey shortage. But anyways, Junius, like, it wasn't just like he had this moral aversion to killing spiders and therefore he beat his kid. He had like a working understanding of how the ecosystem worked. Like, when they would do it, he would explain to them, he's like, when you kill a spider, you're taking food out of the robin's mouth. Like, that's what they do. And there's no reason for you to do it because you're not going to eat it. Like, I don't think that he was like a super PETA-y guy. Like, if he saw anyone eating a chicken, he'd be mad. I think he was just like, if you do, it should be, if you kill anything, it should be to provide nourishment to your body. And if you're not doing that, you're just being a fucking prick. Right. So anyways, this was crazy, and this is definitely going to be a two-part episode because I know we're about to have to go, and I haven't even...
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I didn't... Well, last time we fucked up and didn't do airmail, and I didn't know if... I was going to say, if you want to make sure and get the airmail...
No, we need to get the airmail.
I have 10 minutes left before I have to go. I got a hard out in 10
minutes. Then
just
honestly...
So everybody knows it's listening. That's because of Katie, not me, but anyway.
Then honestly, if we got 10 minutes, the next thing I was about to say, I think, was going to invoke some back and forth between us, so we will just go straight to airmail, and I hope you enjoyed this first part on not just John Wilkes Booth, but on the John Wilkes Booth, the Booth family, as it were. So, yeah, let's get to some airmail, Trey Lane. Subject line, cousin fucking in Utah, of all places.
Yeah.
And
of all places.
Of all places.
I feel like
that's a good place for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. And ain't nobody surprised by cousin fucking in Utah. If you said, like, cousin fucking in Vermont, of all places,
right,
or something like San Francisco, of all places, then but Utah, we know what y'all be doing. Fucking
also, I without reading any of this, I can tell you this, all the cousins we fuck are hotter. So
I don't know, dude. Fucking Mormons,
yeah, there's some Mormon girls,
they keep it tight, like both genders, bro. There's some like Mormon Adonises out there. Mormons
are right.
Wild.
The Detmers, man. They're good looking dudes.
Freak me out, but like,
they don't hit.
I know they don't hit, but they kind of do hit, though.
Yeah, they're athletic as fuck because they're not allowed to sin.
I think they're pretty smart. They're good looking. Because
they have to focus on shit that's not cocaine and Coca-Cola.
That was always my theory, too. It was like, the reason they're good at sports and shit is because they're not allowed to do literally anything else.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. See what this Mormon says here. This is probably not a Mormon. Utahan,
Whatever. I swear to God, I'm not a complete weirdo, but I've been on a kick lately reading about cults. I recently watched that doc on Netflix about that crazy Indian lady who poisoned a town in Oregon, and that got me on a turn. I've never heard of that. Sounds great.
It was a big one. I don't remember what it's called, but that was definitely a big thing at the time. I feel like it came out 3 or 4 years ago, though, or something like that.
And I've been mostly learning about Mormons recently. When the Mormon church banned polygamy to become a state, a bunch of splinter Mormon churches broke off and created their own churches. Uh-huh. But let's be real. They're culty as fuck. Agreed.
Yes.
Now, there are four of these splinter groups that are kind of big. The LeBaron group in Mexico, the AUB up and down the Rockies. When they talk about church on the Sister Wives show, it's this group. The FLDS, the fat, dumb Latter-day Saints, the FLDS, Warren Jeffs and Prairie Dresses, and the Kingston Clan, who refer to themselves as the Order Eternally. The Kingstons are, in my opinion, the most fucked up of any of them. They have been marrying half-siblings to each other for generations, to the point that they blood test their kids to see which relatives can marry and still procreate. There was a reality show on A&E a while back called Escaping Polygamy that was about people who had left the Kingstons helping other people leave them because it can be dangerous and violent. I highly recommend looking into them and their whole system. Because it's insane. Their leader has 27 wives and over 300 kids. God damn, that don't hit.
Lord God.
God damn, that don't hit.
300 kids?
Gee-wee. I haven't found...
You know he ain't fucking with none of
them. None of them. Like, hell no. You can't.
You couldn't raise 12 kids.
And you know,
you have 6-7 kids, and the 6th or 7th one is barely getting any attention. Fucking 300?
I was going to say, like, if you've got 300 kids, it's like you can only pay attention to so many of them. And in your brain, you've got to be like, well, that's not fair to the other ones that I'm not paying attention to. So what I'll do is don't give a fuck about none of them. I mean, that's right. What I do, at least. I haven't found any books out about people who've left the Kingston, but Rachel Jeffs Blackmore is the daughter of Warren Jeffs, and she wrote a book about her life and escape from the fat, dumb, don't hit DS called Breaking Free. And it's really, really good. Here's a limerick for y'all. Long ago in the state of Utah lived some crazies who loved them some hoo-ha. They had many wives, created thousands of lives, and now the whole state shares a papaw.
Nice. That's good. Nice.
Love yins like chicken, Allie. That was good. Let's see. Sorry. Oh, this is a good one. This is a really good one. This is a good idea, and then we'll get out of here. Subject line, NOLA episode idea. And also an emoji of a fleur-de-lis and some titty beads. Hey, fellas, re-listening to episode 30, and y'all go on a little New Orleans rift, which reminded me of an idea I have for an episode. Mardi Gras. There is 100% a Venn diagram. Fancy people do Mardi Gras with extravagance, royal balls, and kings and queens and all that shit. Back in the early days of Mardi Gras, it was extremely segregated, and the fancy people made it a whole European thing with knights and armor and fancy costumes and hella fancy white people stuff. Could also be an opportunity to talk about Black Mardi Gras, which has its own very dope, very beautiful, and artistic traditions like Mardi Gras Indians and Second Lines. But then there's also Trash Mardi Gras, which is the one the most people think of. A bunch of drunk people throwing beads for titties and getting shit-faced on Bourbon Street. Everyone is half-naked, falling down in the streets, drinking trash cocktails in trash cups. Anyways, keep fighting the good fight. Love y'all. Cheers. Hey, that's a good one for the Venn diagram, Trey.
Yeah, I made a note of it.
Cool. Well, there you go. That's putting on airs. Trey, where are you going to be this week, motherfucker?
If y'all are watching this or listening to this, the day it comes out, tonight I'm in Vancouver, Canada. Tomorrow I'm in Seattle. And then after that, I got a bunch of other places. Come up, go to TreyCrowder.com, come and see me. Love you.
When you get back, we ought to talk about Canadian currency. Give us a lesson on the toonie.
The toonie.
I've got some in my car from the last time we went. Hey, I'm at BonusCorey.com. That's where you can find extra things that I do. We just started playing Three Clicks to Hitler again. I call it Three Clicks and a Hick on my page because I don't want to put Hitler in the title or something. But you know what that game is. You know, we have a lot of fun. We learn a lot of stuff. We actually talked a little bit briefly about Junius Brutus Booth on my last episode. It's a lot of fun. Also, listen to Well Read. Listen to Weekly Skews. Listen to Gravy Baby. All that stuff in the Skewniverse. We love you. We'll talk to you later. Stay fancy, motherfuckers. See you. Bye.
Skew. Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cunt, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.